Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joined now by Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C. Charles, of course, is a author of three New York Times bestsellers. Most recently, One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a three-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand. He joins me now. You done with COVID, Charles? You done? You over it completely?
Well, I had a...
You don't sound done.
I had a bounce back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
I had a bounce back. I tested positive a second time after recovering. I was banished from my bedroom again by my wife, but I tested positive on Saturday and negative on Sunday. And really, yesterday was the first day that I felt good. So I'm trying to climb back completely. I wanted to pause a minute before we jump in. You guys are talking about podcasting, the woman who joined Spotify with her sex podcast for $60 million.
Yeah.
How much is Gary worth?
Yeah.
I think that there's often something missing from those conversations, and it's worth saying.
Yeah.
It's not like somebody at CBS could look at Gary Parish and say, let's buy Gary Parish's podcast for $25 million. Whoop-de-doo. The point of buying, of giving somebody a five-year deal for $60 million is that during the 5 years, they're going to generate $200 million in business.
Right.
Right? They're not, but you say right like it was not. We're gonna hire this NBA player for $10 million a year. How can they pay an NBA player $10 million when we pay a teacher $35,000? Well, because the way our economy works, an NBA player who's paid $10 million makes for that team $40 million.
Right,
and so the $10 million is a good investment.
I'm not debating that. When people paid Howard Stern to go to Sirius,
right.
It's not a gift to the podcasters. It's a gift because they.
But that's kind of how you guys talk.
No, it's not at all. You misheard it.
Okay.
The truth of the matter is, well, we understand that if you pay Joe Rogan
as an example, we've just because of the way the economy is organized, does a teacher with a great eighth grade teacher with a classroom of 20 kids generate more than $50,000 worth of economic value in a year? My gosh, of course she or he does. Those 20 kids, what they're going to do 10 years later and 30 years later is vital, but we don't have a way of connecting the dots. So we consider the teacher a cost rather than an investment. Whereas there's this immediate connection between, that's a dog toy, between the NBA player or the podcaster and the revenue. So that's all. I just want to, those people are hitting the lottery, but they are hitting the lottery precisely because they can generate two or three or four times what they get paid.
100%. Like people pay for Joe Rogan because he generates. Because he brings in people who you then sell advertising to, which you then not that much different than us on the radio station. Like we make perfectly decent salaries here, but only because we generate ratings that allow them
to.
Yeah, it is an interesting question though, in terms of why do teachers make so little? It's because teachers are paid by the government, right? I mean, they're paid by the government, and they depend on taxes, and people don't like to pay taxes, and so yeah, they're not immediately generating money for. It's weird.
We don't see it as an investment. We see it as a cost, whereas it's just the opposite. A great school system. California has the best public university system in the country and probably the world. And no accident, California has the strongest economy in the country and the world. There's a connection. And so, right. But when you're paying the bill, it's hard to see the connection. And at the front line level, right, we pay a FedEx driver or a person working the checkout line at Walmart in part based on the revenue that having that person generates. And so,
yeah, but
so,
that
yeah.
person
okay,
doesn't, just, we just, don't feel like that person, the person at the checkout counter, they, unlike Joe Rogan, they strike people, and I don't mean that they, as fungible. It's not that they're not coming to Walmart for Tom, who works at the checkout station. They're just not. He's not. Tom is not bringing in any extra customers to Walmart.
Right. The value of a particular person in a FedEx sort center or a Walmart checkout line isn't about who they attract. It's about how much, if you can check out more people, right? This has actually been a huge rivalry and tension between Target and Walmart. At Target,
yep.
Until just a few years ago, there was always a person to check you out when you got to the front of the store or you were next in line. There was a checker checking somebody and you were next in line. And that lets you say, I can get out of here quickly. I know she's going to finish that person and take me. At Walmart, until literally 2 years ago, it was just the opposite. There not only wasn't an open checker, although there are 24 checkout lines, you weren't next in line in any line. There was a person being checked out and a person behind that person, and you were third in line. I have personally abandoned my cart in Walmart because the wait to give them my money is too long. And for many years, that was for a decade, that was a purposeful strategy at Walmart. We're going to outsource the cost of getting you out the store, getting you out of the store to you. We don't think it'll hurt our bottom line. You wait rather than we hire two more people. Target took a different strategy. Now, Walmart saw their growth slow between the last big recession and 2008, 2015. And the current CEO, Doug McMillon, made a conscious effort to put five or six more people in every store in America in order to solve exactly that problem. Let's get people out of the store.
So, did Target really, was their expressed goal that there was always, and how do you achieve that? Like,
I don't know what the corporate framing was, but my experience in Target.
Oh, okay.
Randomly over many years was that was always the case. And the way you achieve it, in part, in fact, is by cross-training people, by saying, if you're working women's apparel right up front near the checkout clerks and we need you to jump to the lines because they get long, then you just stop restocking and help people get out the door. And once the traffic calms down, then you go back to your department. It's not actually that hard to fix the problem. And to be honest, what's really interesting, a lot of chatter about this, in the online world for many years, Walmart builds all these checkout lanes and then doesn't staff them. And that actually infuriates people.
Yeah.
Like, why are there only three lanes staffed when there are 24 numbered lanes? That just makes people angry.
Well, then how does self-checkout play into all of this? Because, you know, at self-checkout at my Target that I go to, there's often 12 people in line.
Right. People like the self-check. It gives them a little sense of control. I mean, to be honest, it depends on how the self-check is managed. What I have found at Walmart is that the self-check system is is really fussy and doesn't work very well. If you have one or two items that don't register and you have to wait for the staff member to come clear the unit,
right,
you might as well have stood in line.
Right. They're not right there. Whereas at Target, Target, they're right there. They're right there.
Yeah. At Walmart, you're rolling your eyes, waiting. You and I go to Michigan. Michigan has Meijer. Meijer has the biggest self-check areas I've ever seen. They often have 20 self-check lanes in a supercenter the size of a Walmart, and they have three people staffing those, running from person to person in case the item doesn't register. At my Giant, I often use self-check if the lines are too long. I almost never have an item that isn't logged properly in the computer, and so I can do it myself. So that really matters. The Target self-checks are not fussy. And so at Walmart, you just sort of roll your eyes and think, you know, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. Now, Walmart's solution, and it is also Target's solution, Walmart's solution is you order the stuff online, you click store pickup, they give you a window of time when you can come, or a starting moment when you can come, and you just drive.
Are more and
to
more
the
people
Walmart.
Doing that? Are a lot of a significant amount of business now done like
yes.
that?
Yes. I can't tell you what the number is for Walmart overall, but I can tell you at the stores in and around headquarters in Bentonville, which admittedly is a very Walmart-trained audience, some of those stores do as much business at the pickup zone as they do at the in the store checkouts, and that is hugely automated and roboticized. And the bins come, somebody goes and picks your items, but then the bins are slotted. They've got your name and your barcode. The computer sends your phone what pickup, you know, lane you go to, and there's your stuff. And my concern about this was always the same as the Walmart self-check zone, which is if they get one item wrong, if they give you berry special K instead of plain special K out of your 47 items, then you're like, ugh. That's not what my kids want. Now I'm stuck with it. I paid for it. Returning it's such a hassle. Oh, my God, eye roll. But what they do is they use the barcodes. So you order the items online that you want. Those items generate a computer data list for the person who goes in the store and picks the stuff up, and they scan the special K, and if the UPC code doesn't match what you ordered, it goes back on the shelf. They don't put it in your bin. They get it right. And so I shop visually. I have a list, but I also walk the aisles and think, oh, that's right, we need coffee filters, and I forgot to write it down. If you can shop off a list and you don't feel the need to walk the aisles of the supermarket, it's huge. It's great. It's much, much faster. Much more convenient.
We did not plan on talking about any of these things that we've talked about. So plan to talk about, you wanted to say something about the economy.
Well, we were going to talk about the economy. We'll just do it quickly. I think just a reminder to people that there are no signs of recession in the economy, and you can talk yourself into a recession. That's what often happens. In fact, the most interesting signs say that inflation has peaked and it's starting to come down. It's going to last longer than people hoped. There'll be inflation through the end of this year, maybe into next year. A lot of that is coming from gas prices. But it looks like the highest inflation is behind us. And one of the problems with inflation and recession is that we talk ourselves into it. If people think prices are going to go up, they raise prices in anticipation of their own costs continuing to go up, and they may not build a new building. They may not hire two extra people to keep their own costs down. That limit on economic activity slows the whole economy. So an individual person or an individual company may make a smart decision for themselves, but when you multiply it times 3 million companies across the U.S., suddenly you have economic slowdown. Right now, the most important number in the economy is 11 million posted jobs that companies want to fill and can't. Imagine if we could fill a third of those or a half of those. The economy is already bigger than it was before the pandemic. We were the first economy to grow past where we had been pre-pandemic in the whole world. The U.S. economy will grow faster than China this year for the first time since 1976. So there's no evidence of slowdown unless we talk ourselves into it. And that's the balancing act. You need the economy to slow a little bit for inflation to calm down. But if you slow it too much, then you're in recession. You don't have 11 million open jobs and a recession. Those two things don't fit. That just doesn't happen.
We do have a pilot shortage. What's happening with the pilot shortage?
Right. I mean, this is an indication of part of the problem. Right now, airlines have cut back the number of planes they're flying and the number of seats they can offer passengers this summer. Alaska Air, JetBlue, American and Southwest have all cut their summer schedule from what they wanted it to be back in the winter because they can't get the pilot. Alaska's cut its schedule 12%, JetBlue 10%. The big airlines are trying to hire 12,000 pilots this year to fill open pilot jobs.
Where'd they go?
That is twice the number of pilots that the whole industry has ever hired in a year. So they really want pilots. Where'd they go? The irony is they laid them off or offered them early retirement during the pandemic because no one was flying. And the pilots who took early retirement, some of them have come back, but it takes time to be recertified. It is, thank goodness, not like riding a bike. You need to go back through a program to get your skills and your instincts tuned back up. And some of them are simply gone, and traffic is back. The other thing they're talking about doing is raising the mandatory retirement age from 65 to 67. So we can keep some pilots who are flying in the air. But anyway, that's a perfect example. The pilot shortage is limiting the economy. The airlines would be doing better if they could hire 6,000 of the 12,000. It's limiting our ability to spend money because some people can't get airline seats they want. And by the way, it's causing the price of airline tickets to go up because the airlines can charge more because there's a limited supply. There's a five-minute warning.
Well, okay,
let's talk about...
What? What do you want to talk about? I was going to ask you about the UFO hearing.
UFO.
Okay, go ahead. Do them real quick. Yeah.
Right. We're gonna solve the pilot problem with U.S. Border Patrol. The best news of the last 3 months outside of Ukraine beating Russia in the war, U.S. births rose last year. The pandemic baby bust was itself a bust. For the first time since 2014, U.S. births went up a tiny bit. 3.66 million babies born in the U.S. last year, 3,660,000, up 1% from 2020, first time since 2014. Every age group saw an increase, the biggest increase in the 35 to 39-year-old women, up 5%. They feel like they understand that some of that had been postponed because of the pandemic, and then you don't want to wait too long. The other good news, inside the data, births among 15 to 19-year-olds, you really don't want a 16-year-old to have a baby, or even a 19-year-old, down 6% while births were rising, and that is the lowest birth rate since 1991. That's good news. Here's a great comparison. U.S. births peaked in 2007 when the country was much smaller than it is now, 30 million people smaller, at 4.3 million. We had 3.66 million, 3.7 million last year. Peak was 4.3 million. And that peak had only ever previously been matched in 1957. That's what the baby boomers were all about. In 1957, the country was half the size it is now, and we had 4.3 million births. So
that's fantastic.
We're below replacement rate.
And then finally, we had talked about a while ago, we talked about the fact that the U.S. government was supposed to be coming clean on this on the UFOs.
Oh, my God.
And now we've had a hearing. And what did we learn at the hearing?
The first congressional hearing about UFOs since 1966, 50 years, 56 years, was held during the show last week. And the Pentagon basically said nothing. That was what was disappointing. The one thing they said under oath was that the U.S. military has not collected any material from any alien landing on Earth. Under oath, a senior Pentagon official said, we have no material. So they never collect a body or a spacecraft. That's what they say. That, you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. They could have just had a non-Pentagon agency collect it so they could say the Pentagon never collected it. And the best part of this whole hearing was a story in Politico the day before the hearing came out, setting the scene and saying, probably you won't learn much. And a Pentagon official in the story, quoted in the story, not by name, anonymously, said there is a group inside the Department of Defense that knows a lot about UFO visits and unexplained flying object visits that the Pentagon has observed. Here's what that person said. They fetishize their secret society of people who know about the UFOs. It's a kind of skull and bones type vibe. They take it seriously, but they have no accountability. Zero. A whole group of us that know in great detail about this subject, a lot of which has not been reported to Congress.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.